ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। आत्मान एवान सवन मंजसा व्यतिरिकेना बोभूयमाना शेष पुरुषार्थ स्वरूपस्य किंतु नाथाशिष आशनाशनामेतत् अपि संवर्धनमात्रं भवितुम् अर्हति आत्मान एवान सवन मञ्जसा व्यतिरेकेना पुरुषार्थस्वरूपस्य किन्तु नाथाशिष आसनाशनामेतत् किन्तु अभिश्रमराधनमात्रं भवितुमर्हति आत्मनः सेल्फ सफिशिएंटली एव सर्टेनली अनुसवनम् एट एवरी मोमेंट अञ्जसा डायरेक्टली अव्यतिरेकेण विदाउट स्टॉपिंग बहूयमाना इंक्रीसिंग अशेष अनलिमिटेड पुरुष अर्थ द गॉड सप्लाई स्वरूपस्य योर एक्चुअल आइडेंटिटी किंतु बट नाथ लॉर्ड आशीष बेनेडिक्शंस फॉर मटेरियल एंजॉयमेंट आशासनानां of us who are always desiring etat this abhishram radhana forgetting your mercy matram only bhavitum arhati all of life's goals and opulences are directly, self-sufficiently, unceasingly, and unlimitedly increasing in you at every moment. Indeed, you are unlimited enjoyment and blissful existence itself. As far as we are concerned, O Lord, we are always after material enjoyment. You do not need all these sacrificial arrangements, but they are meant for us, so that we may be benedicted by your lordship. All these sacrifices are performed for our fruitive results, and they are not actually needed by you. Purport by His Eminent Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. Being self-sufficient, the Supreme Lord does not need human sacrifices. Fruitive activity for a more opulent life is for those who desire such material opulence for their interest. Yatnyarthat karmanonyatra lokoyam karma bandhanaha. If we do not act to satisfy the Supreme Lord, we engage in maya's activities. We may construct a gorgeous temple and spend thousands of dollars, but such temple is not required by the Lord. The Lord has many millions of temples for His residence, and He does not need our attempt. He does not require opulent activity at all. Such engagement is meant for our benefit. If we engage our money in constructing a gorgeous temple, we are free from the reactions of our endeavors. This is for our benefit. In addition, if we attempt to do something nice for the Supreme Lord, He is pleased with us and gives us His benediction. In conclusion, the gorgeous arrangements are not for the Lord's sake, but for our own. If we somehow or other receive blessings and benediction from the Lord, our consciousness can be purified and we can become eligible to return home back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Om Jnana Timranthasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितम् कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादां सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे भूतैर्महाभिर्यमा पुरो विभु निर्माय शेते यदमूश पुरुष भुंते गुणा षोडश षोडशात्मक सोलंकृषी भगवान् वचांसि मे हरे कृष्णा. In today's verse, we will elaborate on two points. One is the general mood of this prayer and the context. And secondly, what is the specific explanation and the specific learning from this particular verse. This is the 8th verse of the 3rd chapter of the canon. So here we can see the context where Nabi Maharaj is desirous to have a son, and he engages qualified Brahmanical priests to perform sacrifice for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu. So the purpose of the sacrifice is to get a son. And there is a specific kind of son that Maharaj Nabi wants. He wants a son who is similar to, who is alike the Supreme Lord. So he didn't have any son, and for that he is engaging Brahmanas to perform the sacrifice. This shows the Vedic system in which by performing Vedic sacrifices one can get what one desires. So this is a clear Vedic system, And Srila Prabhupada mentions this purport, Yajnartha Karmanonyatra Logoyam Karma Bandhana. So here the yajna is performed to obtain a son for Nabi Maharaj. And he has qualified Brahmanas. As we can see, the Lord personally appeared in the sacrificial arena. This is a speciality of such Vedic sacrifices if performed by pure devotees. These Brahmanas are pure devotees, and the Lord Yajneshwara appeared in front of everyone. This is something unimaginable for us in the current days. Assume we have a sacrifice happening in our courtyard, which happens. We never see the Lord in the four-handed form or Krishna in the Tribhanga form directly manifesting in the sacrificial arena. Nor do we see in this world, even though there are many sacrifices happening for the demigods, none of the demigods appearing personally. Because the Kali Yuga is very degraded, so there is no prospect for interplanetary travel. The demigods, they think this place is so nasty, people are so degraded, and there is no quality for the sacrifices, so we don't want to come. So they don't come. But in the previous ages, they used to come, and here the Lord himself used to come because it was a prayer by the qualified, pure devotees. And the mood of these prayers has to be noted very carefully. These prayers are prayers of repentance. These prayers are prayers of confession to the Supreme Lord. These prayers are not really out of complete joy or ecstasy because of pure devotion service. Of course, they are excited to see the Supreme Lord, but these prayers are in ecstasy, but in the mood of repentance and lamentation. Why is it so? This is an important point of learning for all of us. The sages, the priests, could identify the intention behind the activity. And this intention is not pure devotional service. It is considered a fruiting activity. It is a karma mishra bhakti because of material desires. Now they are engaged in this Vedic sacrifice. So they are able to bring the Supreme Lord in front of them. Still, since the intention is not pure Krishna consciousness, they are feeling quite embarrassed to see the Lord in front of them. The Lord has personally come. The beautiful form of the Lord. Still, they are feeling embarrassed to bring the Lord only forth to satisfy a material desire. Quite similar to that of Dhruva Maharaj. The same mood is shown by this priest because they are performing the sacrifice for King Nabi. That's where the problem, because he wanted a son, and these pure devotees are engaged in the sacrifice and they are feeling embarrassed. Why are we bringing the Supreme Lord for this purpose? Eventually you will see. The Lord can give anything. The priests are telling the Lord, you can give anything, including salvation and including can take anyone to the abode of the Lord. But still, we are asking for something material. From this, we can understand that the sages are able to discriminate. They are able to reflect on their consciousness and hold intent of the sacrifice, and in that way they are able to clearly see what is going on in this sacrifice. So they are very clear about the intention behind the sacrifice, and this is a very important point for all practicing devotees. The intents of Krishna consciousness and discrimination in Krishna consciousness, especially regarding to services, three things can be considered. Point number one, what is the intention behind our activities. Why are we doing what we are doing? So the intention behind the activities. Who is the center of our activities? So many times we can very easily forget this point. Who we are doing this activity for? What is the intention behind the activities? And who is the center of the activities? So that is the first point of discrimination when we are doing any service. So we can reflect and we can discriminate in ourselves, and as devotees, we will have to discriminate in others as well. Second, is this activity really pleasing Guru, Srila Prabhupada and Krishna? Is it actually pleasing? So the way we are performing this activity, is it actually pleasing Guru, Krishna, Prabhupada? That is the second checkpoint we need to have. And third, which is even more advanced, that is, what is the activity in the given circumstance which is going to please Krishna the most? So that is more advanced. First step is considering who are we doing it for? What is the intention behind the activity? So at least the ability to reflect and discriminate. So that is the first step. Second, we can see, is it actually pleasing the Lord? Is it actually pleasing the Lord? And third is, what is the activity, or what is the mood, or what are the intentions which is going to please Krishna the most? So in that way, the devotional service doesn't become a static activity, rather it becomes very dynamic. Pure devotees are constantly thinking, what is the activity that I can do, or what are the intentions that I must have at this point in time that will please the Supreme Lord? So they are in that meditation all the time, and they are acting, speaking or thinking in the same mood. So for example, if I am giving this class, I shouldn't think I have to demonstrate my knowledge, or I should quote as many shlokas as possible. That shouldn't be the mood. What is going to help me and what is going to help others? So we had it clear what we are doing. Similarly, if we are cooking, we had to see what is pleasing Krishna. In the given circumstance, what is going to please Krishna? Not that to show what is good for me to taste after that. Or I want to be known as the best cook. Similarly, if you are doing an arati, we had to be clear, is it really to please Krishna, or do I want to be seen others present in the altar? These are subtle discrimination that we need, and these discriminations are mandatory for a Madhyama Bhakta to make advancement in bhakti. Of course, this is the same thing is applicable to reflect and discriminate where our mind is going in front of temptations of sense gratification. Then we can really catch where the mind is going. Second, even if we have some success in Krishna conscious activities, the things are actually going good in Krishna consciousness, and we have done something nice in Krishna consciousness, then where the mind is going, please check. Then many times if things are going in Krishna consciousness smooth, the tendency is to think about sense gratification. When everything is peaceful, when everything is going the way we want, then many times the tendency is to go more fruity. And to what is in for me, or what is going to give me sense gratification, or at least the mind engaged in those kind of thoughts. How am I going to enjoy it? So in this way, we need to really catch ourselves. So discrimination is very important in Krishna consciousness. And we can see the sages are very careful about the intent behind this activity of sacrifice. Indeed, it is for Krishna, it is for Vishnu. Still, they are very clear about the intent behind the activity. So they know that the first is right. The intent they are not very happy about, because there is tinge of material desire, very clearly, even though worshipping the Lord. Second, it is to please Krishna. Of course, it is to please Krishna because any sacrifice is to please Krishna. So the priests know that this activity is to please Krishna. So the Lord appeared. But the third one, this is not the best consciousness, or it is not the best intent to satisfy Krishna. So in that way, they are very careful about their devotional service. So this is something we need to think, we need to be very careful about. And our acharyas were very, very careful about this, the intention behind the activities. It is never diverted in their consciousness. And if they saw that in the movement or in the followers, their consciousness is diverted from pure devotional service, they were ready to correct. So they were very much in line with what is best for Krishna's pleasure. We can see this in the life of Srila Prabhupada. We can see in the life of Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj. If somebody is leading kirtan, and Bengal people are very famous to sing with all the ragas, with all the alaps, right? You know, going on, you know, Hare Krishna is going on for a long time. And one time, one devotee was singing in front of the deity in the temple in Mayapur. And Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj, he said, stop. He stopped him and asked another devotee who could hardly sing to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, to sing Hare Krishna Mahamantra, to make sure that the mood is right. It is not the ability to sing, it is not the tune, it is not the musical accompaniment, but what's in the heart, what is the intent behind the activity. So Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj said, okay, stop. Now someone else sing. So he was very clear. It doesn't mean that we can sing in any way we want, or we can play instrument in any way we want. It's all for the pleasure of the Lord, so it has to be good. But at the same time, he was discriminating the mood and he was correcting it. Srila Prabhupada, if there is a slight change in mood or mentality wrong, he used to correct. He was discriminating. We know this famous pastime in Mayapur, devotees were singing. Then they added this word to Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya. What was that? He changed to Bhaja Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. It was a fired up kirtan. Devotees were ecstatic, chanting, dancing. Srila Prabhupada heard this kirtan and he told, stop the kirtan straight away. Where is this Bhaja Shri Krishna Chaitanya coming from? So very clear, he is discriminating very clearly and he corrected. No, don't change. It's very important. So when we chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, we cannot add for the tune extra Hare, extra Rama. Sometimes devotees do things like that, adding things, subtracting things. It is not accepted, and the great devotees, they are very clear about it, and that kind of discrimination is required for our spiritual progress. Again, another pastime of Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj. Again, straightening the mood. Maharaj was standing behind in the kirtan. So the deities are there, the leading devotees were singing for the Lord, and Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj personally didn't sing most of the time. And he was standing behind and he was taking darshan of the Lord and he was participating in the kirtan. Then some devotees came and told Maharaj, Guru Maharaj, why don't you come forward, stand in the front, so you can see the Lord. Maharaj said or told, how can I see Krishna? Very important point. This is called discrimination. Very clear point. How can I see Krishna, but Krishna has to see me? Who can see Krishna? We have to be seen by Krishna. This is a very deep philosophy. Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj told that I came to this material world to teach the distinction between the seer and the seen. Maharaj told, I came to this world to teach the distinction between the seer and the seen. We may say, what is the seer and what is the seen? Generally, everyone thinks that he or she is the seer and seeing things. And the same mentality is for enjoyment. I am the enjoyer. I am the seer and I am the enjoyer. It's of same consciousness. Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj told. I am the seer and I am the enjoyer is of the same consciousness. So a materialist is thinking, I can enjoy whatever I want. Here, even this verse, the similar mood is there. That's why the priests are ashamed of that they want to enjoy to some degree. It's not very serious, but it's past part of the pastime, but want to enjoy a son for the king. So in that way. So that is the seer. And on the other way, we think, I am seeing. Yes, we are experiencing, we are seeing, we are aware of things, we are not dull. But who is the real seer? Who is the real seer? Krishna is the seer. Is the Atma the seer or Paramatma is the seer? That's the question. Who is the seer? Whatever Paramatma allows us to see, we see. So who is the seer? So Krishna sees first, then whatever he allows, we are seeing. So that's why he made this point very clear. We are meant to be seen by Krishna, and so we are meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. So he said, that's why I came here to teach the distinction between the seer and the seen. Distinction, discrimination for spiritual upliftment. That's the reason when Akinchan Krishnadas Babaji, as a young brahmachari, he came to the temple and he was just chanting. Then devotees complained, this devotee is only chanting. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj told, you are complaining, okay, you also go and chant with him. Let's see what happens. They chanted 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. After that, these devotees came and told Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he's still chanting. We stopped chanting, but he's still chanting. Maharaj told, he's a chanter, let him chant. Right? Because Maharaj told, okay, he has developed taste for chanting. So he has the adhikar, the qualification to chant, let him chant. We cannot imitate. So our aim is to chant 16 rounds with quality. That's the beginning. One may increase slowly, steadily, as one develops taste and as one finds the need. We don't try to imitate others. Okay, now we have to chant 32 rounds, 64 rounds. We don't do that. Because we have services to do. We have to study Srila Prabhupada's books. We have to hear from senior Vaishnavas. So we have things to do. So it is very important that we align ourselves with the mood of the acharyas. And there we have to use discrimination. And when we are clear, what is the intention behind the activity? Is it pleasing Krishna? And what is most pleasing Krishna? When we have these things in the mind, it becomes clear. Are we doing the right thing or not? Such discrimination is recommended. So Srila Prabhupada, when he used to give instructions or when he used to give answers. Similarly, even senior Vaishnavas in our movement, when they give answers or when they give instructions, they give not just the answer to the question. You will notice it. They don't just give answer to the question. They give answer to the person, what he or she needs. So the answer is for the person, for his or her upliftment, not to give a 360 degree answer. You can analyze the question, you can give a well-rounded answer. No, many devotees, senior devotees, especially when they give the answer, they give the answer for the person. What is actually for him or her to make progress? This is actually seeing things, discrimination, and then they are able to give the answer, and that is uplifting. So Srila Prabhupada gave many answers in many occasions to the same question, depending on the time, place, circumstances. Because he can see the consciousness, and for that consciousness, what is best, that is the answer. Can you see? The intention is right. It is pleasing Krishna, and it is the thing that is most pleasing Krishna. Because from that point, he can make the advancement. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it's mentioned that many times devotees can lack that fine discrimination. We are having this discussion about this in Bhakti Vedanta. So Gangeshwar was mentioning, quoting Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that lack of proper, subtle, fine discrimination is represented by Pralambha. Pralambha, who is the Pralambha? It's a demon, right? Pralambha, sir. How he looks like?
He disguises himself as a
Gopa. Yeah. No, it's not Pralambha. Who is the as demon? Dhenuka. Right? Dhenuka. So Dhenuka is considered like the inability to discriminate. That is subtle discrimination, which is essential for spiritual progress. So just like an ass cannot discriminate the sweet fruits of the palm tree. The ass can eat anything. Right? In the same way, a devotee who is not advanced cannot discriminate. And for us to come to the platform of Madhyama, we need to discriminate, which is very important. Discriminate our consciousness, what is right and wrong. We like to discriminate others because our association is based on discrimination. So discrimination is not offensive. It doesn't have a negative connotation when it comes to Krishna consciousness, because it is very essential in making spiritual progress. So to do the right things, not to offend the devotees. Everything is based on discrimination. Now that is a general explanation about the mood of these verses, where the priests are discriminating and feeling embarrassed to be present in front of the Lord, because there is material desires behind the sacrifice, and that's why the Lord appeared. And here, about this yajna, it is mentioned that the Lord doesn't need anything. So here, the priest is telling, we are performing sacrifice with so much of opulences, and the previous verses it is mentioned that the Lord doesn't need elaborate arrangement to be pleased. Patram Bushpam Bhalam Mitoyam Yobe Bhaktiya Prayachati Tadaham Bhakti Vasadam Ashnam Krayadatmanaha. So the two words repeated in this verse is Bhakti. The twice it's mentioned, Bhakti. So the Lord wants only bhakti, and he doesn't want elaborate arrangements. So bhakti is universal and it's very simple. So the offerings are mentioned as very simple, and he doesn't need this elaborate arrangements of a mountain of grains and a well of ghee and so many other offerings in the fire sacrifice. It's mentioned everything is for us. The whole sacrifice is for one who is performing the sacrifice. It is not for the Lord, because he has everything. As mentioned in the purport, he has millions of temples. He has unlimited devotees glorifying him. He has unlimited servants. Lakshmi Sahasra Shada Sambhrama Seryamanam Govindam Adi Purushantamaham Bhajami. He has millions of Lakshmis. We want only one Lakshmi. We want only the glance of one Lakshmi. Everyone is satisfied. The Lord has millions of Lakshmis, because all the gopis are there, Lakshmis, and the Lord doesn't want anything. So why we endeavor? It's only for ourselves. So there is a very wonderful verse, two verses I will quote from Srimad Bhagavatam to illustrate this point. One is from the 3rd canto, 2nd chapter 21. It's a very beautiful verse talking about the Lord's opulence and why he doesn't want anything. Swayam tu asama adishayastatisha swarajya lakshmiyapta samasta kama balim haratis chiraloga pale kirida kodi tada pada pidhai. Here, the second line uses the word Swarajya Lakshmiyartha Samasta Kama. This verse is very famous. That's why the same verse is quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Sanatana Shiksha, where the opulence and the sweetness of the Lord is mentioned. This verse is quoted to show the opulence of the Lord. That is, Swarajya Lakshmiyartha Samasta Kama. The Lord doesn't need anyone to fulfill His desires. He has unlimited desires and He has the ability to fulfill all those desires. That's why Swarajya Lakshmi Apta Samasta Kama. Apta Kama. We know the name of this devotee, right? Apta Kama Prabhu. Very, very interesting name. Apta Kama. Apta Kama means His desires are already fulfilled, or He can fulfill all His desires. I'll tell you one interesting pastime with this name. Prabhu told me, Apta Kama Prabhu. He's quite a senior brahmachari in Bhuvaneshwar. He's a disciple of Govinda Maharaj. One day, he got initiated and he was very much concerned. What's the meaning of my name? So he was thinking and thinking and thinking, what's the meaning of this name? And this Prabhu, he went to see Maharaj. I'll ask my Guru Maharaj, Govinda Maharaj, what is the meaning? I want to hear from Maharaj, what is the meaning of this name? So he went to his room and the servant came and servant told, Maharaj is busy, he cannot do anything. You know, he is super busy, he cannot entertain you, he cannot answer any questions, you go now. He was not very happy. And next day morning, Bhagavatam, he gave the whole lecture about what the meaning of Apta Kama. So he was telling, I was crying after that whole time, thinking how Maharaj, you know, picked that point, and he just explained the whole meaning, whole Bhagavatam lecture about Apta Kama. Where is coming in Bhagavatam? This is the verse. Swarajya Lakshmi Apta Samasta Kama. Sorry, so Apta Samasta Kama. So it's an extra word is there. What is Samasta means all. Apta Samasta Kama. And how is he able to fulfill all his desires? Swarajya Lakshmi. So that is his personal spiritual potency. By his spiritual personal potency, he is able to fulfill all his desires. And that's why this verse is quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita by Lord himself, Lord Chaitanya himself, showing the potency of the Lord. This is the opulence of the Lord. He can fulfill all his desires by himself and he doesn't need anyone else's help. It's an important point to understand. He can. And on other side, it's mentioned, all the life's goals and opulences directly, self-sufficiently, unceasingly and unlimitedly increasing in you at every moment. Please focus on this. All goals of life, what are the goals of life generally? Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. So all the Dharma, Artha, Kama, these are increasing in the Lord. The Lord can have unlimited wealth and that is increasing. And his dharma, for him, dharma or religious activity or the activity is increasing all the time. And his kama, his desires are increasing all the time. His opulences are directly increasing. And now it's mentioned self-sufficiently. That's the meaning of this. Swarajya Lakshmi Apta Samasta Kama. It is self-sufficiently increasing. That's right. Directly, Anjasa has two meanings or more. But one meaning of Anjasa is easily. And another meaning of Anjasa is directly. And then, Avyatirikena, without stopping. Bohuyamana, it's increasing. Unlimitedly, Ashesha, Purushartha. His, what is that? Purushartha is goals of life. Atmana, it is self-sufficiently. First word. So we can see, the Lord, in Lord, everything is increasing all the time. And so, why He wants the sacrifice? Why He wants anything from us? He doesn't want anything. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, we can see more of a rasa point connected to this. That the Lord's sweetness is increasing all the time. Krishna's sweetness is increasing all the time, unlimitedly. And Srimati Radharani's love for the Lord is increasing all the time. And thus she experiences unlimited happiness. So it is mentioned, both are increasing in an unlimited fashion. The Lord's sweetness is increasing. Lord's qualities are increasing. His opulences are increasing. they are all increasing unlimitedly, self-sufficiently. So this is the quality of the Lord. So it doesn't make any sense that we can offer anything to the Lord that Lord needs. The Lord doesn't want anything. So the same point is elaborated in the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, right? It's a very important verse, because Prahlad Maharaj is making it clear that whether the Lord needs anything or not, because people can misconstrue that the Lord is after our glorification, He is after our offerings. He is not. That is the Asura mentality, demoniac mentality. Just like Hiranyakashipu said in the beginning of 7th canto. What he said? This Vishnu is now just like a plaything in the hands of the demigods. They are offering something and the Vishnu is ready to do whatever they want. Just like a child, that is the example Hiranyakashipu used. Just like a foolish child, if you give some sweet meat, the child is ready to do anything. In the same way, Lord Vishnu has lost the quality of impartiality. He is swayed by the prayers, persuasions and offerings of the demigods. So the Paramatma has lost his quality. So I had to take action about this. This is the mentality of Hiranyakashipu. So this is the demoniac mentality. So here, to clarify this, Prahlad Maharaj prays in the 7th canto, in the 9th chapter. Why Prahlad Maharaj prays like that? The reason is, very advanced devotees, they act on the platform of Sakya with the Lord. So here the Sakya shouldn't be misunderstood with the Sakya in the spiritual world. So this Sakya comes with Sharanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Mandaram, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atma Divedanam. So this mood of Sakyam is carried by great devotees. They act as well-wishers of the Lord. So the preaching is considered on the platform of Sakyam. So again I mentioned, this Sakyam is not the Sakya thus in the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada, he himself writes, great acharyas like Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, they are acting on the platform of Sakyam when they are preaching Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada is acting on the platform of Sakyam when preaching Krishna consciousness as the well-wisher of the Lord. They want the Lord's glories to be spread. They want, if there are any misconceptions about the Lord, it has to be removed. Can you see? In that way, these great devotees are acting on the platform of Sakya, as well-wishers of the Lord. So we are not acting on that platform. Our preaching is not on that platform. But pure devotees preaching, it is on that platform. So here, in Prahlad Maharaj's prayer, he makes this point because he doesn't want anyone to have a wrong understanding about the Supreme Lord. He is defending the Lord. Can you see? If you love someone, you act as their well-wisher. So they are defending. And Srila Prabhupada, he is not just a well-wisher of the Lord. Of course, he is a well-wisher of all of us. That's why you are ever well-wisher. Can you see? So he is acting in that friendly relationship even to his disciples. So friendliness doesn't mean that, you know, hugging or, you know, putting the hand on the shoulder or patting the back. No, not necessarily. That is a mood. So that is the mood of Sakya. So it's mentioned, a disciple and brahmachari acts in the platform of, in a friendly relationship with the Guru. What does that mean? Acting as a well-wisher of the Guru. Meaning doing service to please the Lord and to carry the glory of the Guru. So in that way, so that is the meaning of it. So here, Prahlad Maharaj prays, you know, Naivatmana Prabhrayam Vijanabha Purno Manam Janat Avidisham Karuno Vrindrayate. So he says, Naivatmana Prabhrayam Vijanabha Purno. My Prabhu, my Lord, he is Vijanabha Purna, the same point. What I mentioned in the previously, Swaraji Lakshmi, Apta Samastha Kama. Here we can see the same point. His Atmana, his self-sufficient, and his Ashesha is unlimited, and he doesn't need anything. So, Nijalabha Purna. What is the meaning of labha? You know, profit, right? This is nija labha, my profit. Okay. So if you do a business, we want nija labha. I want my profit. Otherwise, why should I do anything? So whatever activities we do, we are looking for labha, for the profit. But he is nija labha purna. He is complete in his profit. He doesn't have anything to get from anywhere. He is complete. So he is nija labha purna. So naivatmana prabhurayam nija labha purna. This Prabhu, this my Lord, because Narasimha Devi is in front of Prahlad Maharaj, is telling, my Lord is complete in himself and he doesn't need anything from anyone. Still he says, manam janam avidusha karuno vrnite. Still he is so merciful that he is ready to accept the prayers and glorification of avidusha. What is the meaning of vidusha? Anyone knows what is vidusha? Vidusha or avidusha? No, it is part of it. Vidusha means one who is intelligent, one who is a scholar, a pandit. That is vidusha. Vidwan, vidusha. Now, Prahlad Maharaj says, avidusha, who is foolish, exactly the opposite. And avidusha karinovrnite, he is ready to accept the prayers and glorifications of a foolish person. He is so kind that he is ready to accept the offerings of a foolish person. Who is a foolish person? We are actually foolish people. Because we know, we have heard so many times that we shouldn't enjoy this material world, but we want to enjoy this material world. At least we have the tendencies very strongly in our heart. So we are really foolish if you think about it. But he is ready to accept our prayers and offerings. Why? Why he said mercifully? Karuna, karuna vrnite. He is very merciful, so he accepts. It can be explained like this. If a foolish person glorifies you, how much value it has got? Correct or not? A fool is glorifying you. Many times, you know, fool disproportionately glorify you. It happens sometimes. Flatter you. Does it have any value? It is said a great person feel embarrassed if a foolish person actually glorifies such a person. Because the fool, you know, if a great person glorifies someone, it has a value. But a foolish flatters someone, it doesn't have any value. So it is mentioned, the Lord is very happy, the Lord is so merciful, we are very foolish, we have so many material contaminations. Still, if we glorify, the Lord is very mercifully accepts the offerings. So it is mentioned, manam jana avidusho karuno vrnite. He accepts. Then he mentioned, yadyat jano means whoever, whichever personality, jano, bhagavate vidhadita manam. If they offer any prayers, offerings, anything, tachatmane pratimukhase yadha mukhashri. Why he accepts out of compassion? Then he gives an example for us to get us an idea. What is that mirror example? Pradimukhase yatha mukhashri. Just like if you are in front of the mirror, if we want our face to be decorated, by decorating the reflection, our face is not going to be decorated. Similarly, we are only reflection of the Lord. Our happiness is only reflection of Krishna's happiness. If we please Krishna, in turn we become happy. So we don't try, or we shouldn't try for our personal happiness. The point that I mentioned about discrimination is to discriminate such that what is pleasing to Krishna. We can to figure out what is pleasing to Krishna. That's the whole idea. So if we want real happiness, then we have to be in tune with Krishna's happiness. That is Pradimukhasya Yadha Mukhashri. Then it is mentioned that by glorifying the Lord, how can we increase the glories of the Lord? Exactly the point comes in this verse. We cannot increase the glory of the Lord. We cannot add anything to the openness of the Lord. We cannot do anything because it's already unlimited. But it is mentioned, if we glorify the Lord, one who actually glorifies the Supreme Lord, he become glorious or she become glorious. See? So it's exactly the opposite. So by offering anything to the Lord, we cannot add anything in Lord because He is Nijalabha Purna, He is complete as it is mentioned here, and His openness is increasing, but doing that activity, we are benefiting ourselves. So this is spiritual consciousness. The materialist generally asks, why are you wasting time glorifying the Lord? Why are you wasting things offering to the Lord? So this is material consciousness. And exactly opposite is given here. And the priests are very attuned to the pleasure of Krishna. And since there is a slight diversion, they are feeling very much repentant. So the Lord at the same time is so merciful, adding on to the mercy of the Lord, will make this point. Even though He is Atma Rama, even though He doesn't need anything from anyone, He is completely self-sufficient, still He wants one thing. What is that? He wants the bhakti of His devotees. That's why He says, Patram Krishnam Bhalam Toyam Yomem Bhaktiya Prayachari Tadaham Bhakti Bhadatam Ashnami Prayatatmanaha. He still wants the bhakti of His devotees. In that way, even though He is completely independent, He enjoys to be dependent. And that is the loving relationship between the Lord and His devotees. So Srimad Bhagavatam is preparing ourselves to see what is pleasing to Krishna. To tune our consciousness. To think, to reflect what is pleasing to Krishna. And then what is most pleasing to Krishna. And in that way, we can make steadily progress in bhakti. So bhakti is not a static activity, rather it is dynamic, and since it is dynamic, it becomes ecstatic. That we can observe in advanced devotees. They are happy all the time in serving Krishna because they are in tune to the pleasure of Krishna. So with this, I conclude and cease the education of Krishna. Yes.
Thank you for the nice class. I was thinking about because in the verse it says that how Lord is complete in Himself and actually doesn't need our glorification. But when we are trying to do our preach activities, we are glorifying the Lord, and actually Lord wants it in the Bhagavad Gita, that says that is that He wants us to do that and He wants us to glorify that.
Yes.
So how can we understand He is complete and He is satisfied with that, but
so the question is, Krishna encourages preaching, as you can see in Bhagavad Gita 18th chapter. The dear most devotee is one who preaches My glories. So on one side we can see that Krishna is complete, He is Atma Rama, He doesn't want anything, and that we explained in few verses here. But at the same time He is telling, you preach. And Mahaprabhu especially, He has given His personal instruction, right? To everyone. Yare lekho tare kaho Krishna upadesh. Wherever you go, who will you meet? Preach Krishna consciousness. Then the question comes. Does he simply want to enjoy His glories? Is that the reason? Yes, He can enjoy that His position. But at the same time, why He wants His glories to be spread and He is explicitly instructing to preach. The reason is that is the utmost beneficial thing for people who are suffering in this material world. So He is instructing you preach. Why? Because that is the most beneficial thing for any living entity. Or in other words, that is the only beneficial thing for a living entity in this material world. That is getting connected to Krishna. So the Lord wants to help all the living entities out of His compassion. So, He preaches Himself, Bhagavad Gita, Uddhava Gita, and Lord Chaitanya's instructions, His travel, everything out of compassion. So there is no benefit as such for the Lord, but that is beneficial for the living entities because that is their constitutional position and nothing can be done about it. So the person taking steps. Clear? Or any other points to it?
I think also, even our outreach activities also we are trying to grow it because now we push blessing to the world.
It is beneficial. Outreach is beneficial for everyone and for ourselves also. So it is very clear. It is beneficial. We do it. Okay, we know it's beneficial for others, but at least we know that it's good for ourselves. We can, if we don't preach to new people, it can be a problem. We should always preach to new people. Even if you are teaching to devotees, even if you are giving classes to devotees, etc., that is insufficient. Clearly, it is insufficient. We always should preach to new people. It has to be possible. Otherwise, one can feel very proud. And devotees are generally accepting things, less challenging. One has to take to some challenging preaching activities. It's a need for all of us. If everyone is listening, then where is the challenge? To take some books and go out, then there is a challenge. If you don't want to face anyone, if you do Harinam, it's good, there is some challenge. Give classes to new people. There is some challenge. Very important. Every devotee should always preach to new people. It has to be part of it. Even though we may be teaching, we may be doing Shastric courses, studies, whatever, but new people preaching never to be stopped. So it is not a progression. First I will do Bhakti Viksha, then teach Bhakti Shastri, then I will teach Bhakti Vaibhav, then I will teach Bhakti Vedanta. In that way I am making progress. Got the point? No. One should be always ready to teach the new people. That's it. Maybe it's very important to check out on consciousness. Yes.
Prabhu, I'm just trying to understand how the Lord appeared, because the priest said that we're not. The priest said that we didn't do so good job. We didn't do it so properly, and that's how like the Lord appeared.
The question is, the priests are dependent about their activities, still how come the Lord appeared? Point number one, this is a different age, Satyuga. So the sacrificial process is different compared to now. And that time the devotees were so pure, so it was quite possible for the Lord's appearance. Generally, any sacrifice perfectly performed, the demigods used to appear. And in special cases, the Lord also used to appear. So it's a special case wherein the Lord personally appears. And the Lord actually acknowledges the fact. Thank you for this honest prayers. So the Lord acknowledges. What you're telling is true. But this is the process. The Lord appeared and he blessed. And the Lord says, there's nobody equal to me. So I had to come myself as your son or king's son. The Rishabha appears, the Lord himself appears. That's the difference. Okay, is there any final question? All good? Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna, Ganesha, Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Jai Jai.